I will be reading 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen.
Boy, don't you just love that? Yeah, we got some preachers coming along. I like that. Good, good, good. Well, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Just got a telephone call as we was finishing up the Lord's Supper a while ago. That was Brother Philip that I've been talking to you about, a missionary that we've taken up a little bit of a collection for, and we sent him $2,066. And folks, that helped him tremendously. He was having trouble feeding his family, and he just called me to tell me to tell you guys thank you very much, because he was just leaning on God to provide that support, and this church sent that. And I've already had some other contributions to that this morning. If you haven't still yet another contribution to give to him, why, see me or one of the elders after services. Tonight is Sunday Night Live, and have I got a topic for you. Please come tonight and tell me what you think about this topic, which is quite interesting. I'm baiting the hook. I'm not going to tell you what it's going to be. Please come back and be a part of that tonight. It'll be a great discussion. I'm going to keep my comments to 10 minutes or so, and then we'll have some good discussion. If you have your Bibles this morning, be turning to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we will be in verse 16 through 21. And I want to talk to you for just a little bit before we get started about communication. Communication is really important. It's the way that we exchange information, the way we give it, the way we receive it. And if we have the right information, well, we can really end up in a pretty good place, a place that we're wanting to go. But if we have the wrong information, well, that can land us somewhere that we don't want to be. If you have the wrong information, ultimately, you could get killed if you have the wrong information, if you think about that. One of the first ways of communicating across our country was the telegraph. Now, certainly maybe you could have written letters, okay, but the first form of the telephone was the telegraph. And the interesting thing, have you seen the old Western movies? You know what happens, don't you? The bad guys ride into town, they shoot the bank up, they steal the money and all this, and what do? They always do one thing. One of them climbs up this phone pole, no, it wasn't a phone pole, but climbs up the telegraph pole and carrying the wire and cuts the wires. But why does a robber do that? Because he knows that if he can cut the information line, that he can hide behind that. He can get away because the bank can't telegraph someone else to come help, and they got plenty of time to get away. So communication is something that's really important. Now, I'd like for all the kids to come up front. We need to have a kid time. All you kiddos, come up here. We're going to do something to illustrate how important communication is. And boy, I hope that, yeah, they got to be old enough to be able to talk. Just line up. Everybody just line up across here like this. Everybody stand up. Everybody just line up down through here. Kim? This is all volunteers. Hopefully, in an effort to show you how communication can break down, I'm going to whisper something to Ryan, and when it gets down to Cameron, I'm going to have Cameron come up to the pulpit and tell me what it is that I told Ryan. Okay? Ryan? Well, I better turn off my microphone. Whisper that into his ear, and then when you hear that, so you whisper it into her ear, you whisper it into his ear, he whispered, if you got the picture. Cameron, you're my bud.
Isabella says that she heard the wolf jumped over the cow and the cow jumped over the wolf.
Okay, go ahead and have a chair, buddy. And I was so worried this wouldn't work. Here's what I told Ryan. The cat was chasing the chicken through the yard, and the chicken jumped over the fence, so we had to go catch the chicken, who had run halfway across town, and put it back in the yard before the coyote ate the chicken. so I hope that it is abundantly clear to you, my brethren, that sometimes passing communication along can get pretty changed and pretty different. That ought to concern us. It concerned the first century church, and brethren, it is my also idea here that it concerns us as well. Church, for us as a New Testament Christians, we should be concerned about the correct flow of information from God. Many people today claim to have different and conflicting truths from God. The fact is that God is not the author of confusion. He hasn't given us a broken down message. He hasn't given us little bits of information that don't make sense, that don't add together. But He has given us His very words. If you have a Bible today, you have the very words of God. And that's pretty exciting. So if you would, look in 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll start in verse 16 as we go through this and we discuss this. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. It begins and it says, "For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." If you back up in 1 Peter, it's all been I. Peter's talking and he's saying, I. And he switches here and he says, "We." We did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We is talking about the apostles. The apostles. He goes back here and he says, it's not just my message, but he goes back and references the other apostles because it was their job to distribute the truth of God's word to the people. And as I stopped and thought about this, I thought, well, wouldn't it be cool if Peter showed up today? Well, it'd be more than cool. It'd be a miracle, right? But let's just say if Peter showed up. If Peter come up here and Dan was sitting down getting to listen to a good message, you know, and here Peter said, what would he talk to us about? Well, what was he talking to them about? He was talking to them about the power and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, when he's talking to them about the power of God, the apostles were communicating to the people that day the power of Jesus in particular to change people's lives. The power of Jesus to save people, to heal people, and to grant them eternal salvation. And I think about, you know, if Peter was here today, that's what he'd be talking to us about. I have no doubt he'd be talking to us about the power of Jesus. And then he would be talking about the second coming in particular. The second coming. And encouraging people to remain steadfast and warning them not to fall away. And in doing so, he says, I'm telling you, when we told you about Jesus, that was not something that was cleverly done. Some of your versions might say, especially if you have the King James, it may say the word cunning. We didn't cunningly devise some tale to give to you. That is, we did not manipulate the facts. We did not use the facts in any way for personal gain. And that's what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 5, that the story of Jesus is not for personal gain. So when Peter starts going into this and he says, look, when we shared Jesus with you, it was not done cleverly or cunningly. I wasn't manipulating the facts. I wasn't trying to do this for personal gain. The apostles weren't. And this was not some fairy tale. I like the Greek because it uses the word fable. In other words, we didn't just make this thing up. You know, that's the one thing that's really clear and humbling to me as a preacher to realize I couldn't do this each week if I wanted to without the instruction manual because I ain't that smart. It's a humbling experience. Well, God is saying through the apostles, hey, look, we apostles, we didn't make this message up. It's not fictitious. It's not without the basis of truth. And isn't that the lesson that we had last week? Talking about true knowledge. And last week when we talked about true knowledge, now we're going to talk about the agency or the path through which true knowledge comes, and that is the apostles. Okay? So here he says, we did not do this making something up. We didn't do it for our own benefit, or we had no impure motives. And also this word cleverly in the Greek points to the idea of needing approval by men. So the apostle Peter here is saying, look, we, the apostles, we didn't make this thing up. We didn't fictitiously create this myth about Jesus. And we certainly did not do it to gain the approval of men. Can you imagine if they had? I want you to stop and think about that for a minute. Think about the fact that if I, as a preacher of the gospel, think about if I did that, what would I be trying to do? 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'd be trying to preach to itching ears, things that tickle your ears and tickle your fancy, things that you like to hear where you go, yeah, go man! And that'd be El Romo Mundo, right? Not right, wrong. The apostles saying here, hey, let me tell you what, we don't need your approval. Is that message still viable to us today? God does not. Well, hear me now? Nope. Okay, I'm going to stand right here. It's going to be hard, but I can do it. God does not need our approval. The apostolic message does not need it. That means this. If you agree with it, good, because that's going to get you to heaven. If you don't, you're out of luck. And the message is not going to get changed to suit anybody's fancy. Praise God that we have a consistent message, because you know what? When the message changes, did you see the frustration on these little kids' face? Did you see them go, what? Did you see, have you ever felt that? But the Word of God does not change. The apostles were commissioned by God to deliver the inspired Word of God. They were led into all knowledge by the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 25 and 26 said that the Holy Spirit would cause them to remember all things that Jesus had said. John 16, verse 13 says that the Holy Spirit would guide the apostles into all truth. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3 and 5 says that the truth of God was made known or revealed to the prophets and to the apostles. They, the apostles, were given the power to confirm the word in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Mark chapter 16 and verse 20. And it is the apostles, that we are said that we need to follow their pattern because they are commissioned by Jesus as ambassadors. I'm going to throw my favorite analogy on you. You've heard it before, but I want to share it with you. This is not a trick question. Let's say that we were in a big kitchen right now and we were making cakes. Isn't that pleasing? Big old chocolate cakes. Now here's the deal. Let's say that we had four groups in here and we had one group that had round cake pans. Then we had another group that had rectangular cake pans. Then we had another group that had square cake pans. Okay, let's just have three groups because that's all shaped. makes the batter, when you make the cake in the round cake pan, what shape is your cake going to be? Man, y'all are good. Okay, now you got the group over here with the rectangular cake pan. They decide that they're going to add some ingredients and take some here and do all this. But when they get done, they pour the cake into their rectangular cake pan. What shape is their cake going to be? Man, y'all are great. Now the last group that has a square cake pan. They make theirs and they pour it in. What shape will the cake be? Now, let's get out of the kitchen, let's get out here into the spiritual realm, and let's take the apostolic pattern, and let's mix our spiritual sludge up, and let's pour it into the apostolic pattern. What shape will our spirituality be in? In the apostolic pattern. And you know, you're sitting there going, well, we know this, Dan. We know this, we've understood this from the time that we were a child. This is easy, we get it. The world doesn't get it. When we leave these doors, the people that we go to work with, sometimes the people we live next to, they don't get the idea that we are to follow apostolic pattern, and that is coming under criticism here in 2 Peter. There are people out there, you don't need to listen to the apostles, listen to us. That's next week. False teachers and false prophets. I'm not going to get too much into that. But do you see the flow of how this is going? 1 Peter chapter 1, the first of it, talks about true knowledge. Today's lesson talks about how true knowledge comes to us by apostolic authority. And next week is going to say, hey, when you don't get true knowledge, here's what you end up with. 2 Peter's got a pretty good flow going, okay? Let's continue in... hey, we got half a verse. We're doing all right. Let's continue verse 16. It says, but we were eyewitnesses of His Majesty. For when He received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to Him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain. The word eyewitness primarily in the context here means that this is first-hand information. You know how it is when you get second-hand information? It's the difference between a chicken getting eaten by a coyote and a cow jumping over the fence, isn't it? It can be that way. So the first thing here that's under consideration is the fact that this is first-hand information. In other words, the apostles are saying, look, we didn't hear this from someone else. We weren't taught this thing, and we certainly, we didn't make it up. But the word eyewitness is the word epotes in the Greek. And it has to do more with just seeing something with their eyes. It includes the idea of inspections. The apostles are saying this, look, we did more than just see Jesus. We ate with Him. We shared our heart with Him. We touched Him. We were there with Him. We were not just eyewitnesses, but we were ear witnesses. We, in fact, knew Him closely. That's what kind of information is coming down here. But eyewitness has another idea to it. The word eyewitness in the first century was also used to show the privilege of someone who was able to be initiated into something. In other words, that we were somehow in the inner circle. Here when Peter says, look, we were with the Lord on the holy mountain. We were up there on the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord. Peter, James, and John. We were called up there to the Mount of Transfiguration. And when you think about that from Matthew chapter 17, who do you have on the Mount of Transfiguration? You have Moses, which represents the law. You you have Elijah there, which really represents the prophets. And guess who else was there? Jesus was there, the Son of God. God was there. And who else was invited? The apostles. And what's going to happen? God is going to say, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." All of those folks were called up on the Mount of Transfiguration because God was basically putting his stamp of approval on the scheme of redemption. You had the law and the prophets, and Jesus had come, but the apostles were invited also. They were on that inner circle, you see. And I think that's part of what Peter's saying is, look, you want to talk about inner circles. God called us to that place. God called us to be on the inner circle. And church, in so much as we follow apostolic instruction from the New Testament, we are on the inner circle. How many of you want to be on the outer circle with God? None of us. We all want to be on the inner circle. And that is part of what Peter's saying. And he says, we were eyewitnesses. The word we here is used in the emphatic sense. And it means we and only we. You see what Peter's doing here? Peter is combating false information being taught by somebody, and is there no doubt of that since he's going to switch in chapter 2 and start talking about that exact thing. He says, look, we the apostles and only we. See, that's his message. Is the agency of truth. Verse 19 through 21 says, so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved along by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. That's a pretty exciting passage in my books. Because you see, I don't want communication line between me and God to be hampered in any way. The apostles were given the prophetic word. And the prophetic word of God has been made complete. You can read Hebrews chapter 2 and you can understand that that has happened. There's no more need for any future prophecy. God has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. He told us that in the book of 1 Peter. We have everything we need. We have the completed Word of God in regard to salvation. There needs to be no more prophecy regarding the matter. Yet today, everywhere you turn, people are saying, God told me this. And what Ron's been talking about in his classes, God told me this, God told me this, and it ain't the same thing. As a matter of fact, it's conflicting. How much of that do we have going on today, brothers and sisters? We have so much of it, it just boggles the mind, makes you want to puke. Doesn't it? Barf, puke, pick your word. It makes you sick. Is God the author of confusion? Not in any way, shape, or form, right? But He directs us to pay attention to His Word, and He says that it's like a light shining in a dark room. Now, I got to thinking about this, and it just hit me just right. What happens when you turn the light on in a room? Not dark anymore, right? I've tried this myself. Flip that switch, boom. Darkness gone. But here, that's not the picture that's being painted. He says it's like a light shining in darkness. Now, how many of you have ever somewhere where it's really dark and somebody lit a little candle, a little small one, you know. You seen that, Tucker? Yeah. And what happens? Then light does not just flood the whole room. You have kind of a mixture back here in the background. You got some darkness, and then you see up here, you see this flicker of light, you know. He says that's how it is with God's Word. God's Word stands out in darkness. It is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path, Psalms 119, verse 105. It gives me hope. It gives me guidance. And there when I'm in the darkness and I see light, guess what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to stumble the end of my bed. Let me tell you about the end of my bed. Over on each corner, it's got this thing that sticks up about yay tall, and it's metal. For the life of me, I can't figure out where that is in the darkness, and I keep hitting that thing. I get so tired of that. But when the light's on, when I can see, I don't bump into that crazy thing, and don't mind me all black and blue, particularly along this side right here. I just get black and blue from that. I'm going to cut that thing off one day. Or I'm going to get a nightlight and put the nightlight on. Wouldn't that be better? That is the Word of God. It is light to us in darkness. But if you continue in verse 20, the meat and taters hits the table. He says it is not a matter of one's own interpretation. And it is not made by an act of human will. Thank God that he didn't say, hey, apostles, you know, get to know me and love me and write down whatever you think and feel. See, when we're reading 1 Peter, it's not Peter's talking, folks. Now, we say that sometimes. What Peter's saying here, you know, but it is what God is saying here. Because God is speaking through Peter. Peter's not sitting there and saying, well, I think God wants me to say this, so I'm going to write this. It was not an act of Peter trying to understand God and then relate it into human wisdom to put it down on paper. The book of 2 Peter did not happen because Peter said, oh, I need to sit down and write another letter. The more I write down, the better off I'm going to be perceived in the future. It was none of that. But God himself spoke through Peter. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says the exact same thing, that this word is inspired by God. It is the very breath, the very essence of who God is. Isn't it really nice that Peter didn't sit down and say, here's what I need to write about? Because what would have happened? The chicken who was fixing to get ate by the coyote would have turned into a cow jumping over a fence. Thank goodness we don't have that. Isn't that right? Now I want to mention to you, at least, I don't think this is probably a complete list, at least five areas of major concern for us today as Christians. First, today, there seems to be an epidemic of people thinking that their feelings should guide them into all spiritual truth instead of looking to God's Word for guidance. One might say, well, I know the Bible says this. I know that God's saying that, but I feel that it ought to be this way because X, Y, Z. You plug in what you want in that verse or in that thought. I know God says this, but I feel this. And I'm going to let that dictate to me the direction of my life. What this person forgets is that God has chosen to reveal himself and his feelings in Scripture, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10 to 13. One might also say, this was written 2,000 years ago. We're in 2008 now. That was a different culture, a different place, a different time. Therefore, it's irrelevant. Or I've got to adjust some of the details because I live in 2008 where we have electric power plants and we have natural gas and we have Hy-Vee and Walmart. So I've got to do some changing of God's Word to make it applicable today. And of course, the obvious nature of that is seen as being wrong. God remains the same, and we'll see that later in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. One might say that, well, this is just how I feel. And however I feel, that's just how I'm going to approach God. God tells us that if we let human feelings guide us, that death will be our end. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 25. If we could feel or guess somehow what God had intended for us, why would He have written to us the Scripture? Jeremiah 10:23 says that it's not within a man to direct his own steps. Yet we live in a world today where everyone wants to approach God on their terms and in their way. Now, okay, there's a whole lot of they being used here, but what about us, church? Do we ever do that? You better really think twice before you say no. Sometimes doesn't Satan tempt us to approach God from our own direction and in our own way and outside of His Word? Then there's this idea of tradition. As we talked about Wednesday night about Sister Jennifer Harper now, coming to the Lord and the Lord baptizing her into Christ, one of her big hang-ups was, well, this is the way Grandma did it, and this is the way Mom did it, and if that's the way they did it, that's the way I'm going to do it, and if they were wrong and they're going to go to hell, somehow, magically, I've got to do the same thing. I never have figured that out, but Jennifer found out what? She found out that that ain't how Grandma did it, and that ain't how Mom did it, and she got really frustrated, and they, well, then, why in the world did they let me do it this way? People like to follow tradition. If that's what Mom and Dad did, it's got to be right. I want to ask you a question, just literally. How ignorant is that? On the surface, we can easily see that. But when it comes down to reality, isn't it easy to fall into that same thing? The only tradition that we need to follow is the apostolic tradition that was written down in the Scriptures. Then there's this idea of follow the leader syndrome. We can't understand the Bible, so we got to get somebody else to tell us what it's all about. This idea of the pastorate system, you know, come to church and let the preacher tell you how to be, and he's going to be religious for you, and all this baloney. Did I make that clear? That is not what God had intended for us, to follow a leader, but He tells us that we need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. He tells us to search the Scriptures daily so that we can understand, we can know what's going on. I've heard in the last year or so, a guy from some other religion, and I won't say names, but he said, our folks don't need to read the Bible. We'll tell them what it says. Church, the day that happens, the day that comes out of my mouth, you do this for me and for God. You tar and feather me and put me on a rail and send me out of town. Now, I'm being honest with you. Because when you get away from God's Word, you are away from the very thing that will save your souls. Is that right? Another common fallacy is the idea that God did not give us everything we needed in Scripture, so we need some modern-day prophets to further give us direction from God. people will get on TV and they'll say, God told me this and I've got the rest of the story here. You need to listen to me. God's Word, He didn't say everything in here. He didn't say everything. So He's been talking to me and you need to listen to me because I got the rest of the story. I'm Paul Harvey. Good day. That flies in the face of every New Testament doctrine that there is. God has given us a complete message. It's been confirmed, Hebrews chapter 2. He's given us everything we need. And when someone approaches you and says, look, I know this isn't in the Bible, but now here's what God's shown me, you just say, baloney. Get back, Jack. Go away, open the Bible and show it to me. Give me a thus saith the Lord. Isn't that the type of people we are as Christians? Give me a thus saith the Lord, or hit the road. And you know, I'm just being frank here. You know, we don't hurt nobody's feelings and we can get ugly with them. But we can tell them, hey, I'm not going to listen to anything that is not from God. They had trouble with that in the first century, and folks, we got trouble with it today. Then there's this idea of modern apostolic succession. You know, I don't think that much of us sit around and think about that because we understand what God's Word is saying, but you leave these doors, you get out into society, and there are people who think that the apostles had successors, which means that there are current, modern apostles walking around among us. And what the apostles have, they have power from God, they have a direct intervention, a hotline to God, and somehow they've got that they're in the know, and nobody else is. God didn't create a secret society and give a few people information and just leave the rest of us to wonder if what I told him was the exact same thing to come across. It's not that way. Thank goodness, right? Thank goodness. Now, I want to do another thing. I want all you kids to come back up front. We're going to do us another little test and see if we can't get a little bit better. Everybody just line up across here. Brian, come over here. Cameron, you and Doug Randall. Let's see if we can get this thing right, shall we? Okay, this isn't working anyway, is it? Church. Brethren, God gave us direction for our Christianity through the apostles and the prophets. Peter says that we have everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. So lesson one was, we better get a hold of true knowledge and we better let it change our life. Lesson number two is that true knowledge comes through the apostolic agency of truth. God spoke directly to the apostles, and that is what come down to us in the form of God's Word. Today, let me ask you in closing a couple of questions. Is there anything in your life that is stopping or hindering the communication of God to you? Maybe you're struggling with an attitude. Maybe there's something that you need to set right. Maybe there's somebody you need to talk to. Maybe there's a confession that you need to make. Maybe you haven't just simply been given God any time. Maybe you've been insisting on having things your way instead of God's way. What is it that is hampering communication from God? And they seem to say, well, nothing, I'm doing pretty good right now. Hey, folks, there's always something getting in the way between you and God. If you live and you're sucking in air right now and you're breathing out air, there's something always trying to get in there and stop that communication from God. I want to encourage you this week to try to at least see and identify those things that are coming in between you and God. In His Word, because His Word does not change. Praise God that we have a consistent message. In 2,000 years from now, Lord willing, the earth is still spinning, they will have the exact same message that we have today. Is there any way we can help you this morning? I invite you to come.